Erica McIntyre, Jason's Connections Content Director. Today, our founder, Jason Harris, will be talking with Noelle Julnes-Dehner, producer, director, and writer of the films The Right Track and Coming Home from the Streets. An Episcopal priest, she has worked in prisons, parishes, private schools, retirement centers, hospitals, and as a writer and assistant editor for an Episcopal publisher.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. How did you get into filmmaking?
It started in the late 80s. I was part of the Soviet Sister City Project, and I had this idea that the Soviet Sister City Project should have a video, which at that time was a novel idea. Now it's everyone has one, every organization has one, but this was a novel idea back then. And so we found someone who would do it, but then that person couldn't do it. And I still thought it was a great idea, and so I went to City Cable and pitched the idea of making a video of their first visit from the Soviet Union. And he said, sure. And he gave me a piece of paper, and he folded it in half and said, on this side you write what you want me to film, and on this side you write what you'll say. And that's how it all started. I made a little video for the Soviet Sister City Project. And then I was a delegate. We went to the Soviet Union with the project, and I had a film crew, and we were going to do something about our new sister city. And one of the people I asked to meet veterans of World War II, because Kharkiv, our sister city, had been liberated at least twice from the Nazis. And
hold on 1 second. Can you tell, because not everybody's going to be listening from the city you're in, so can you tell people what city is the sister city that you're talking about?
Right, you mean I'm in Cincinnati? Because I said Kharkiv.
Mm-hmm.
So you want me to say Cincinnati?
Well, I mean, we're gonna have viewers from all over the nation. So it's good to know.
I just want to say what you want me to say.
Yeah, no, you're good. Yeah, Cincinnati would be great. Thank you.
Okay, so as part of the Cincinnati Soviet Sister City Project, we went to the Soviet Union to interview people to see, just come back and show what it was like to the United States and to Cincinnati, our new sister city. And I asked to meet veterans of World War II because our sister city, Kharkiv, had been liberated at least twice from the Nazis during World War II, and I knew that the Great Patriotic War, which is what they call it, was very important to them. When we met the veterans, there were all these women who had medals, and they were combat veterans, and nothing I had read had said anything about women being in combat. And in fact, one textbook said that they weren't in combat, but there were about a million, it's thought, of women and girls that were mobilized in World War II, the largest one in history. So I came back and looked at the Library of Congress, and not much had been written about, especially in English. And so I went there and went back and got interviews with a photographer, with a colleague from here, Joanne Lindy, and we got a grant from the Ohio Humanities Council, and that turned into a traveling photojournal display. And then people kept saying, why don't you make a video? Why don't you make a documentary? And I thought, oh my gosh, it took so many years. Well, it took years to get this. But I went back another time and took someone from the Soviet Union who had emigrated here, and we filmed Under Fire, Soviet Women Combat Veterans of World War II, and it was on channel CET here in Cincinnati, the local PBS station.
And now you have two other films since then, Coming Home from the Streets, which talks about sex trafficking, and The Right Track, which talks about reentry. How did you choose the subjects for your film?
I've been looking ever since I'd made Under Fire for someone to help, or just, you know, and this is what happened. It was years later. Someone wanted to do something about what it was like to get out, a really short thing about some positive things about people who are reentering society from incarceration. And I talked to her, and I thought, oh my gosh, I think many more people are like me, which is, you know, nothing about it. And I saw a bigger subject in it. And that's how I came up with the topic, was to see what reentry was like, because like most people, if you're not going through it, you don't know what something's like. Mm-hmm. I had no idea it was as difficult as it turned out to be to reenter.
Mm-hmm. And how did you choose for your current film, Coming Home from the Streets? What made you choose that subject?
I've been thinking about it. You know, for documentaries, and maybe this is like other films, but in documentaries, I think sometimes you hear a song. It's like hearing a song, a melody, and you follow it and just see where it goes. Because there's no money in it, so you don't do it for, oh, it's a job or something like that. You have to really want to do it because it's really from the heart, something you really care about and you put a lot of time into. The only way I can explain it, it's like you hear a song, and so those are the songs I heard, and I followed them.
Mm-hmm. Now, both films are, I mean, they're on complex topics, but they're both short films. Why did you choose a 20-minute length for your films?
So that they would be able to be in classrooms, schools, different organizations, and that's where I've shown them, so that mm-hmm. it's short enough that you can hear the stories, but also long enough of a time so that there's time for discussion.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's movies that are covered in 2 hours and can't cover everything. How do you do that without feeling like you left anything out that you wanted to say?
You always leave something out. There's never been as far as I know, there's never been a book, a poem, or a movie in which things aren't left out. You can, a lot of videos, you can get the outtakes or movies and see what they left out. I've seen poets still editing before they read a poem in public. There's always something you leave out or change. Every creator has to make choices about how to move the story forward and what's excess.
Great. So what have people, you said there's discussion groups. What are discussion groups like? What do people, have people learned a lot from these films? What sort of happens in them?
A couple things. For me, again, going back to your last question is, do you leave things out? I never make anything that's supposed to be exhaustive because, first of all, that would be exhausting, I think, for people. But they're hearing more the stories. It's not the here are the facts, here are the 10 facts you really should know. It's more meeting people and experiencing that relationship. So how would I say, let me think about this. It's about what I learned from it, or?
I mean, what do people take from it? I mean,
I think, first of all, they recognize themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They think, oh, that could have been me. I could have gone that path. Secondly, say in the right track, that people really had turned a new leaf. That was a surprise, that there weren't, oh, they are criminals. They are hardened criminals. They're all alike. They all stay that way. People's lives are complicated, twisted. They make bad decisions, and you realize we all make bad decisions, and there's just had that that consequence. For example, Earl in my film, The Right Track, for a first-time nonviolent drug offense, he got 20 years.
Wow.
You think 20 years for that? Is, you know, there are people in there who have shot people who aren't. You know, it makes you start thinking about the justice system. Tony in The Right Track, he could have accepted it. He could have fought his case. But if he fought his case, then he could have had more time added on. So even though he felt that he was not guilty, didn't deserve to go to jail for signing this document, if he had lost, then that's more money and more time away from his family. And so there's that sort of a double jeopardy in our legal system. Now you understand it so that people don't go to trial. I mean, to keep things moving, but at the same time it has a consequence of people not wanting to fight for themselves because it could cost more time and away from their families.
I mean, do you think that it means that people become more empathetic to these issues being a people issues, that they see actual people?
Right, more empathetic, more knowledgeable that how hard it is to get a job, that once you put that down, a lot of people will not hire you. It's hard to find a place to live. A lot of people will not rent to you, or they're not allowed to rent to you because of that, even though they could be renting to people who are currently doing whatever the offense is, but just haven't been caught. But it's, you know, you just realize how difficult it is. And you also think, oh, if they're getting out of prison and they can't get a job and they need to eat and have a place to live and take care of their families, what's left? helps you be a more pretty compassionate, but also a civic-minded citizen.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it brings it to a point to where these issues aren't just issues anymore. They are issues around, you realize there's people in them.
Well, they affect you. You might not have gone to prison. You might not know anyone who's ever been to prison. But we can all guarantee that there are people in your community who have been to prison, and now they're looking for a job. And so it affects our city.
Now, you had a lot of support from the prosecutor's office and some other people in law enforcement. How did you get that support to make this film?
I think they realized I was making a fair film, that I was reflecting what they said, just to make the story so that to not make it simplistic. I mean, for example, you would never want to say, oh, this person had a troubled childhood, so there are no consequences. No, I mean, we can't have that society either. And a lot of people who went to jail, that was a turning point for them. It gave them a chance to rest and to think about their lives. For other people, it was a more horrific experience. But I wouldn't want to remove that component from the picture. Now, what prisons are like and what the system like, that's another topic for discussion. But again, people have to take responsibility. Not everybody who was in the situation made the same decision and ended up incarcerated. And the people who come out that I talk to, they take that responsibility. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, did I cut you off?
No, I just wanted to make sure that was answering your question.
Yeah, I mean, how did you find the four people that you found?
One of them I knew, and a friend of a friend approached him for me. And he lived in our neighborhood. And to Cincinnati Works and Talbert House. And another one was through a friend. So just getting the word out. I pre-interviewed a lot of people. And that happens in any film. You pre-interview a lot. And then you see whose story goes through. First, you have to find someone who's reflective. Now you can say, I don't know why I did that. But you can't keep saying that. I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I did that. You know, that's not much of a documentary if somebody's always saying that. You have to say, oh, it was because this that I did that, or I felt this way, and so I did that. And you have to have people whose story carry the whole way through. It can't be just one interesting part. The other parts have to go together, too. And you only can pick a few people because it's a visual medium. It's not like a book where you can have subplots going on. In the movies, it's visual. Only a few people can be important. In fact, in movies, sometimes you can tell who's going to be with whom because they're kind of color coordinated. Their clothes, you can see who's going to be together because their clothes match.
How did their lives change? So were they happy with the sort of film that came out once they saw it?
Yes, both. Everyone who's seen any of the three films I made has been very happy that they were in it and felt that I got it, because you want them to like it. You want to say, oh, yes, that's how it was, because you do leave things out. And because, again, it can't go on for days. So you want that. You want them to get the essence of it. They might not like everything they did or how they look all the time, but they can say, yeah, that's it. That's true. You got it. And so they are. For Coming Home from the Streets, at the premiere, the women who were on the streets, some of them will be there for the Q&A, so they're willing to talk about their lives because they know people care, and they've changed, and they're proud of that struggle, and they've changed.
And I'm going to get to the new film that's coming up really quickly, but one last question on The Right Track. How did that change their life being in this film? How did it change the way people look at them?
They were very glad that they could tell their story. I mean, again, going back to Under Fire with the Soviet Union, the women were thrilled that anyone in the United States was interested in them. That was very exciting for them. And nobody before had asked them what it was like. And I'd watched a bunch of war documentaries beforehand, and they were pretty much, of course they're men, because that's who's mostly fighting. But there were men saying, I did this here, then I did this there, then I shot people, you know, like that. And if there's any, sometimes emotion, the camera would move away. And I did not see every single military film, but that's one of the things. And the same with this. Nobody's really asking them what it was like to be them, to have that experience. And so they were thrilled that somebody finally asked what it was like, and they could talk about it and get their story out into the world.
So now talking about your film, it's about to have a premiere, coming home from the streets. What are the stories that are covered in this film?
Can I go back to the other one too, the right track?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I also gave them some confidence about the people in there. But one, Sheila, who is a woman who was a battered woman who shot her husband and went to prison for it. I went to a prison where she now works. She does reentry work, and we showed it. And so she's been able to use the film not only for herself, but also to help other people. And Earl, through the film and through people seeing what he's like, he ended up getting a job.
Wow.
Because he wasn't just one more person with a felony. He was somebody who could tell a story.
What's the new story for the coming home from the streets? What type of stories are you telling there?
And I focused on women because, again, it's a short film. But there certainly are men out there on the streets doing the same thing. And the women are trapped by childhood demons, by drug addiction, and traffickers, which pimps are traffickers. Mm. And there are a lot of Americans are out there involved in prostitution. And it's really a very dark world. And so the film captures the stories about these women who struggle to reclaim themselves and are free. And not everybody makes it, or not everybody makes it the first time. It's difficult. It's a very harsh world. But it's very easy to drive by people and not realize what's going on. I mean, now when I drive by on the streets and I see women walking back and forth or not looking very healthy or thin, now I understand. But before, I probably would have just, you know, kept driving.
So, without giving away too much, what sort of story can you tell a little bit about the people who are in this film?
Sure. I can tell you about the people I pre-interviewed, too. So, again, this is not scientific. This is anecdotal, which that there was a lot of abuse in their past. Of the people I pre-interviewed and these women. And then there's drugs to numb the pain, and then, you know, drugs take whatever you have. So then you have not much left, and so then that leaves the street. One woman, this story, she's in it, but this story isn't part of it. She was married to somebody who worked for Fortune 500 company. He was doing drugs, so she was doing drugs, and then, again, there you are, needing money, and you're on the street. It's not something people choose, you know, because people say, well, isn't it their choice? You think something bad had to happen for that to seem like a choice. Nobody in high school thinking, oh, I think this is what I'll do when I grow up. I want to be a prostitute. I want to be out in the streets, hungry and cold and desperate for drugs. You know, somebody says it's not a choice, it's a situation. Now, there are people who are kidnapped, for example, and have absolutely no choice. You know, there are different types of trafficking. But, you know, so even people who seem to be having a choice, it's really not much of a choice. But there are some very harsh things out there. There are adults who are selling children. And I once saw a sign that said, there are no child prostitutes. And what that means is those children are being raped. They're not. That's not prostitution. It's rape.
I think that's a really good point. I think one of the things that I was surprised about, when we were researching this, these sort of issues affect a lot of different people with the reentry, but also with this issue, it's a lot of Americans. It's a lot of different people. I mean, I think that sometimes that we think of it as sort of a niche issue.
Mm-hmm. But it's not there. In an a friend of mine, well, actually, she's the coroner. She's in the film, the coroner of our county where we live, and she was talking about an upscale neighborhood in which the parents did not know that their daughter was doing that until their son came home from college and said, sort of like, why did Susie get in the car with those men when she's supposed to be in school? And that's what she was doing. She had taken some pills, got addicted, and now she was out prostituting for that. So it's not even, you can't even limit it to, oh, it's the inner city. No.
And so, like,
with a heroin epidemic, people are doing a lot of things just to be able to get more heroin.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how are people with help able to get out of these situations?
Right. It takes help, and lots of times it's not your first try either. Sometimes it's several trips to rehab. And it helps to have medical rehab in which you have support before, during, and after the detox, which is a grueling process. It helps to have these support groups to help you move forward, to have pro-social ideas and friends. Life is hard. It's hard even if you're not addicted to drugs. And so if you're fighting an addiction, it's very tempting to just want to go back and not feel the stress anymore. So that's a very difficult thing that people are doing. Plus getting over the childhood wounds that got them there. Plus the same thing with a lot of people in prostitution have spent time incarcerated, so they have the same reentry problems. Hard to get a job, hard to find a place to live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what sort of things are being done for reentry and for have people to help people come overcome the sort of challenges of prostitution?
That would vary from place to place. In Cincinnati, for reentry, for example, there is Hamilton County Reentry. There are outreach advocates who work do reentry in the city. There are organizations like Cincinnati Works that has job skills training, meaning how to be employed, not necessarily how to weld, but how to do these things, how to have the social skills to do something, how to have the endurance so that if someone tells you what to do, you don't think, oh, that person's disrespecting me. You realize, oh, that's part of life. Or if you feel like quitting, that you call them first before you quit and help you find a job. So there are places like that. In Cincinnati, there is also, say, the program Off the Streets, which works with women who are leaving prostitution and want a different life.
Mm-hmm.
There are national, international organizations about this too. I think I gave you some of the websites. Polaris, International Justice Mission, a lot of organizations do work that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's sort of done, because I think, as we talk more about bullying movements, it's also now trying to help the bully too to get over some of their problems. Is there stuff that has been done to try to decentivize or and also help people who are trafficking people to have different options?
Wait, for the traffickers, is that what you said?
Yeah, so I know it might sound a little bit weird.
No, I mean, they go to jail. Now, I don't know what the kind of rehabilitation there is. That for anybody depends on which jail, which prison. But there's, and some people just change. I've met somebody who used to be a trafficker or a pimp, and now he's not.
Mm-hmm.
There was a famous man, Iceberg Slim. He died recently. I'm not sure where he lived. But he wrote a book about it. It was brutal, the way he treated people, brutal. And he changed. He just looked back on that and just changed his life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something you have to do. You can't change. But a lot of people who are traffickers with people, they're also trafficking drugs and guns.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they have to work on their own demons, their own jobs. And there are a lot of, I don't know. That's not something I know very much about.
No, but I didn't know. I'm glad you can say that, and I think you have some good points too. So what can we as people do to help? I mean, either if we want to get really involved or want to be medium involved, or even from a sort of basic level, how can people get involved to help these movements?
There are a lot of movements around that you can join. In Cincinnati, if you Googled it, it would come up with End Slavery Cincinnati, and they do trafficking awareness. So you could invite them to come and give a presentation about how to become more aware of trafficking, both with labor and sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
There seem to be a lot of programs going on. Again, the Google, you can go to International Justice Mission, Polaris for the work that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Cincinnati, there's Off the Streets, Cincinnati Works. You can support those organizations. You can give someone a job, give them a second chance. Those are really important things to do. If, of course, when you go through the trafficking training and you ever think you see someone being trafficked, they will definitely be taught not to approach that person yourself. You don't want to get the other person in trouble. You don't want to get in trouble. You get a hotline number, and you call mm-hmm. that hotline, and then they will look into it or tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot. There's Truckers Against Trafficking. There are truckers organizations, because they see it at the truck stops. There'll mm-hmm. be somebody who offers to wash your wheels, but there just happens to be a young woman with him, and so you can be involved with something like that. There are a lot of organizations out there.
Well, I think too, can you give people, if they want to see the films that we've both talked about, if you're in Cincinnati, you can see it December 3rd, or ask Ms. Daynor to come to show it to you. But also, can you give them your website so they can see some of the information on the films?
Sure. It is www.noelcoproductions.com.
Great,
That might be easier if I type that up for you.
We'll put a link on it for
okay.
you as well. And is there anything else you want to share with our listeners today?
They're powerful stories. The people who are in the films are very brave, because it's so easy to walk through life and say, "Hi, how are you? Fine." But these people talk about something very deep. Their struggle, their inner struggle, and sometimes they talk about something that didn't go well, in which they don't look good, in which they made a mistake. And how often do you ever walk and talk with people who admit a mistake? It's always somebody else's problem or this or that. They're very brave, and they're very generous to share their struggles and their victories in life. So I'm very grateful, and I'm also in awe of the people who agree to be in the films, because it's, again, the generosity and the bravery that they show by sharing the deep parts of their lives. It inspires me to become a more deeper and generous person.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's amazing that you chose, and these people chose to participate in this film and sort of do it differently, not necessarily so statistical and stuff, but more experiential, because, as you said, it's powerful to people. It brings empathy, but it also makes people think about themselves. I think it's amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
Thank you. I'm very impressed by Jason's connection.
Thank you.